Broadcasting the boisterous part of the fastest game in the world. So strap on your lids and lace them up, Rook. You're listening to the Barn Chirpers Hockey Podcast. Shake-a-lap! Clap it up, boys. Clap it up. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Barn Chirpers. You can follow us on the Instagram and the threads at Barn Chirpers Pod. You can find us on the YouTube and see our faces, see what sweaters we're wearing at Barn Chirpers Pod on the YouTube as well. You know what? Just Google at Barn Chirpers Pod and you'll find us and you'll know what to do and all the things. And it's a packed episode. I know we say that every week, but it really is. It's trade deadline coming up in, let's see, we're recording this on Wednesday. So by the time you hear this, it might already be Friday, but the trade deadline, I believe, is 2 p.m. on Friday. And listen, the GMs, the teams, everybody is working hard to get some deals done. And we just want to let you all know that if you're trying to work hard and maybe you're struggling to get into a routine, maybe you've hit a plateau or maybe just need a little bit of bump, right? Well, the Hard Work Works Fitness app is for you. Workout plans designed from a full gym, a home gym, or no gym at all. The Hard Work Works Fitness app has got it covered. From customized to the programs available in the app, Hard Work Works Fitness takes a meticulous approach to designing the best fit for you. So what are you waiting for? Head over to your app store, download the Hard Work Works Fitness app, and hey, use the code CHIRP for 10% off of your purchase of any program option and get a free nutrition guide included that will help keep you on track to your goals. Decide, commit, succeed, and join the hustle today. Justin, who are you most excited to see find a new home at the trade deadline, or potentially find a new home at the trade deadline?
I will answer that in one moment. First, yep. I have to say this. If you're watching on YouTube, the man to, I guess, my right, this way, that guy, the chiseled specimen before you.
Whoa.
He's the coach at Hard Work Works Fitness. That's spoilers. That's the thing he leaves out.
Spoilers.
You see the shape that he's in. You want to get in Joe's shape. He will get you there. So do that damn thing. So
I appreciate the shout out, buddy. Shout out. But hey, I was a goalie and I did get a couple shout outs in my day. So there is that. Actually, you know, truly the first thing, and we're going to get to the trade deadline talk, but this is actually not NHL related. This is PWHL related. And this came across this morning, and it is reported PWHL jerseys now are going to have the player names underneath the numbers. And this is an initiative by their newest sponsor, Molson Canadian, which, bro, this is a huge, if you're not Canadian, I mean, not that you have to be Canadian, but Molson Canadian is a massive, massive sponsor. So to have them involved in the PWHL is just moi, chef's kiss. So their initiative is to not rebrand, but putting money into the league to get everybody new sweaters with their name underneath the numbers. And it's because when, you know, most of the ladies have long hair, so their names are covered up. So they're trying to bring more recognition to the league by having the names underneath the numbers. And their sponsor, little logo, is going to be at the top of the back of the sweater there. So it's going to be covered up by their hair. Essentially, they're saying, listen, we want these players to be recognized. We want them to be household names. We don't give two S's about our name because we're Molson Canadian. Let's get this league to the toppest tier. I just made that up. And get these ladies and player recognition to the very top tier of not only this sport, but hockey in general, and stick taps and sellies to that. I absolutely love this. This is fire. Thank you so much, Molson Canadian and PWHL, taking off, man. I love this.
It's, again, it's weird, you know, giving shout outs and bravos to a beer company, but they're, if you're going to do the right thing, then yeah, I'm all about it. I think this is a huge move. And, you know, again, to raise recognition of these players in, cause I mean, look, man, it is when you're watching the games, if you don't already know who like the players and their numbers are, and you can't see their name because of their hair, then like I'm still, what are we, 15, 16 games into the season, and I'm still learning players' names and numbers. But a lot of them are like your Sarah Nurses who you knew going in. So you see the 20 out there, that's Sarah Nurse.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not everybody's Sarah Nurse. So you got it. I think this is a spectacular move, and there's a lot of great players that deserve to be on that Sarah Nurse level. And I'm hoping that this is just the first step in that. So I'm all for it. I think it's great.
I agree 100%. So we love that. There's going to be another thing that we talk about PWHL later on in the show. So let's get back to the trade talk. Listen, again, we're about two and a half days away at the time of this recording from the trade deadline. And it's been pretty quiet. Honestly, it's been very quiet during this. There hasn't been a trade. Well, okay, so we missed a couple things with the barn. We were talking about the barn last week, and we're going to get to that. But overall, it's been pretty quiet. And even though we had Elias Lindholm move, you know, Vancouver snatched him up, Zadorov got snatched up, Sean Monahan got snatched up. But, you know, those guys were kind of already being shopped. So it wasn't necessarily a surprise that Zaddy was on the move and Lindholm was on the move. Monahan was a little bit of a surprise just because, you know, he kind of had a resurgence in a resurgence year in Montreal. He wasn't necessarily on the block, though. It just so happened to work with Montreal retooling and Winnipeg and Vancouver getting those guys. Real quick, this is weird to say because I wish the Canadians would get back to like the mid 2000s Canadians, like the 06-12, because they were such a wagon and they beat the crap out of the Capitals during those years. Like 4 out of the 6 years was a first or second round exit for the Capitals because they had to face the Canadians. So it's weird for me to say that I wish the Canadians would get back to that type of a wagon, but I really wish they would. That's a side piece. Okay. Anyway, going back to trade deadline. I know I'm super like ADHD right now. Everybody listening, we're going to get back on it here. But we finally got a couple of moves is what I was trying to say. And Chris Tanev from the Calgary Flames, who we already knew he was also on the move, as well as Noah Hanifin. We're still looking for where he's going to go, but Dallas picks up Chris Tanev and a prospect, Cole Brady. They send back a prospect. I'm going to butcher this. A prospect, a 2024 second round pick, and they send over a 2026 third round pick to Calgary. That third round pick, I believe, turns into a second round pick if Dallas makes the cup final. So this is the first thing we're going to talk about here. Chris Tanev, a very defensive defenseman. But here's the thing. Dallas was, I want to say, 26th in block shots this year. Okay. Mm. Chris Tanev himself is number 2 in the league for block shots. So this is a huge add for Dallas to get the top leading shot blocker into the lineup. This is a great move. I think we know Calgary's essentially going into rebuild period. So they're going to get a prospect and a couple of picks, and Dallas gets a guy that can block shots. Win-win.
Yeah. And it should be noted, just because this is what made the deal work, the New Jersey Devils get in there. They get a fourth round pick, I think, this year, and they paid the retention on Tanev's contract to make the deal work. Right. No, I'm with you. Like a team that's already, look, man, I have reservations about the Stars, just Texas and hockey, and you know, I've gone over that a million times, but they are my cup pick. If you guys remember at the beginning of the seasons, I picked Carolina and Dallas. This shores them up. And I mean, if the one thing that's going wrong is people not getting in front of pucks, you got the second best guy in the league coming on over. I like the move. I like it a lot.
Solid ad. It's a solid ad. Another defenseman that got traded, the Anaheim Ducks sent back to Toronto, Ilya Yabushkin, and a prospect, Kirill Slepitz. Sorry, I'm butchering that. In return, Anaheim gets a 2025 third round pick. Carolina was also a third party broker there. They receive a 2024 sixth round pick. I don't know. Not much to say here, really. I don't know. I mean, Toronto getting a defenseman.
They need it.
They need it, but I don't know if Labushkin, like, he's not going to solve the problem. no. that they have. So, I mean, hey, you know what? By all means, spend all your money and get guys that aren't going to matter. Like, continue that, please. Yeah, I don't care.
I don't know if this is true or not, Joe, but I think Lyubushkin got hurt earlier this week.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Them's the breaks.
I mean, it's not funny. We don't ever wish to get for anybody to get hurt, but that's very Toronto.
Very, very Toronto Maple Leafs.
Very Toronto.
Absolutely.
So,
yep.
So the team in general, I laugh at that because you guys can, you're never going to win.
Can't get it right.
You can't get it right and you're never going to win. Quote on that, but we don't ever want to see a guy get hurt. Like hopefully it's only a day-to-day thing and he's coming back soon. Another trade that happened, your boys, the New Jersey Devils, get Curtis McDermott and they send back to Colorado a 2024 seventh round pick and a prospect, Zakhar Barbakov, I think. Sorry, I'm butchering these Russian sounding names, not on purpose. But so, I mean, hey, you guys need defense. And we'll start there. The Devils definitely need guys that can defend.
They need defense, they need size. They need presence on the ice. Without getting into too much of what happened this week with the boys, hence my disheveled appearance.
Well, I was going to hit that second. So let's talk about this trade first, then we'll talk about the other stuff.
Okay. But you texted me initially about it and, you know, my hesitation on bringing a goon in, but like you also, I understand you need it. And these boys need it, unfortunately. They get shoved around so much. You need to have a guy with size who's going to go out there and defend his teammates. McDermott fits that bill. So you know what? Like, we haven't seen much from him in the two games that he's played so far, but he's definitely a presence on the ice, and you know, we'll take it.
Yeah, exactly. And because we're on the Devils, again, I know ADHD here, but something very important happened in the Devils organization over this last few days. Lindy Ruff gets fired, Justin. I mean, definitely saw it coming. I think it's probably like 4 to 6 weeks too late.
At least.
But here's the thing, that really looking deeper into it, truly, I mean, hey, yeah, maybe he lost the room. Maybe he didn't. But clearly whatever he was doing wasn't working because he didn't seem to be changing things when they clearly needed some type of change, either mixing up the lineup. I mean, Luke Hughes, okay, one day is going to be a very great defenseman. But right now I think he's like dash 20 something and he's on the power play. Like, what are we doing?
He's quarterbacking.
I understand he's taken Dougie Hamilton's position, but here's my point. Tom Fitzgerald or Todd, I forget. Anyway, Fitzgerald, though, he's the one that's really to blame because think of all the pieces that you guys lost this offseason, and he didn't do anything to bring anybody back in. You lost Tatar. You lost Graves. You lost Severson. I'm forgetting who else you...
Miles Wood.
Miles Wood. You're the GM. You knew all these pieces were gone and you didn't do anything to fix it. So, and then of course you couldn't foresee Dougie Hamilton tearing his pec. Like, hockey players don't normally tear their pec. So I get that, but dude, you didn't do anything in the off season to lose. I mean, career games between Severson and Gravy. That's a lot of career games. Like, well over 500 career games. Like, they've played a long time. So Fitzgerald's really the problem. Ruff, I mean, that's really just like
scapegoat.
Yeah, for sure. So I'll give the floor to you to speak on this and then we'll get back to trade deadline stuff.
This just in, Joe, the New Jersey Devils are bad at hockey. Here's the thing.
Well,
here's the thing. I've noticed, again, I've watched more Devils games this season than I probably have in 15, 20 years, just because of availability. And when they're playing bad hockey, they lose. When they actually play hockey, they actually look like a hockey team out there. The problem is they can't seem to consistently play 60 minutes of hockey, right? at some point that's going to get laid at coaching's feet. And like you mentioned, Lindy just, he had his line blender go, brrr. You know, he would blend the lines and, you know, sometimes it would provide a little spark on the ice for a little while, but the biggest problems were defense, goaltending. Nothing he can do about goaltending if Fitzy doesn't give him anybody. So, you know, Dawes at times showed promise. Schmidt at times has shown promise. Vitek has not looked good all season. But defense, he can do something about. He can change how they play. To your point, Luke Hughes, look, he's a rook. So, like, I understand you got to give him wiggle room. He's got to get ice time. I understand. But, like,
for sure,
as many turnovers as he's had, like boneheaded turnovers, like across the ice, like nobody's there to get his back turnovers that lead to like a goalie, like a one-on-one, like so many times those turnovers are in the back of our net because of the poor goaltending. But it starts with Luke turning the puck over. And again, to your point, for some reason, he's quarterbacking the power play. It's like, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, Nemitz has come up and looked like a as close to complete hockey player as a rookie can. Like, he's almost there already, which is great. I mean, he still has plenty of room for growth. But, I mean, his mistakes are minimal, and he's finding ways to get in on the offense and make passes and without as many turnovers. So why aren't we trying that? And again, like Lindy's line blender goes, but never on the power play. The power play went from fourth at the beginning of the year, fourth best in the league, and just dropped to one of the worst, like miserable. They went on an over 24 stretch from like December into early February, 0-for-24 on the power play. That's not going to get it done. And he doesn't change it. And for some reason, our big ticket guy, Timo Meier, not there on the power play. Why? Why? Again, they're not trying Miller, who's got a cannon. Like, why is he not on the power play? I don't know. But anyway, all that to say, Lindy had to go. And I hate that he's getting scapegoated for it, but because he seems like a swell dude. But like, he was going to get canned regardless. Like, I wish they would have done it like a month and a half, 2 months ago when there was still a shot at this season. Technically, mathematically, yeah, they're still around. Like, a couple heaters, if the Flyers tank the rest of the way, you know, it's mathematically, they're still alive. But there's way too much that needs to go right. And on this season, with McLeod being a sex pest, with injury upon an injury upon injury to star players, you know, like, it's just, how do you get it done? You should have made this change months ago,
for sure. And I mean, even to that same point, just real quick to kind of before we move on, it's the same way that I see, well, really everybody that's technically still in contention, but like, so the Caps, the Devils, the Penguins, the Islanders. Why are you, I mean, are you really going to be buyers right now and try to make a playoff push when you're going to be done in 7 days? Is it really worth are you really going to compete against Boston, Florida, even Toronto? Yeah, I'm giving them their flowers. The Canes, New York, you're not truly. I mean, in a 7-game series, you might get one, maybe. Maybe you might get one, truly. So it's interesting. But I do want to bring this up, a pass or shoot for you, Justin. And I mean, hey, it's kind of a homer pass or shoot because I am talking about the Devils here. But if they got, let's say, for instance, we look at a team like Boston, who has two amazing goaltenders in Ullmark and Swayman. Clearly, Swayman is the guy because he's been getting the bulk of the starts recently. Ullmark has another year left on his deal, but they're going to have to pay Swayman. I'm talking about Boston here. So what about this, Justin? Pass or shoot? New Jersey, if they're going all in, if they're going in for it, you try to get Ullmark, but you're going to send over, let's say, Toffoli, who's a UFA, and Dawson Mercer to get Linus Ullmark and, I don't know, maybe a guy like Grizzlick or something like that. Pass or shoot. You get your goaltender, but you're going to be losing Toff, who's not re-signed yet. He's going to be done at the end of this year. And you're losing a, you know, a guy like Mark Dog. But you're getting the goaltender.
Yeah. So if Ullmark has one season left on his deal?
I believe one season left, yes. So you'd get him for another year. And he he's an RFA at that. So you have potential to re-sign.
I like this deal better than everything that's been sent out there for Markstrom. I feel like Ullmark is more of a guy who can go out and steal games, which is, unfortunately, with our defense the way it is, we need. You hate to lose to Foley because he's definitely produced, but like when you look at out there on the ice, he's a piece you can lose, especially if we're not going to be able to sign him again. I don't want to. Like the dude's produced, I think, 26 goals this year, and it's not for trying, but like I don't think that he really fits in. Again, if he signs, I'll take him. But again, you take the production. But as the deal presents, I hate to lose Mercer, but to getting back Ullmark, I think I shoot on that. And we have been linked to Ullmark. I haven't seen any, you know, deals out there, but we have been linked to him.
I have it all pulled up right now, waiting on other updates to happen with trades, but I haven't seen that. That hasn't happened yet. No. Okay. So moving on, the man, the myth, the legend, the guy that I'm repping right now, Elias Pettersson, signs an 8-year, $11.6 million AAV to stay in Vancouver. The guy gets his money bag. If I'm going to give anybody 11.6, it's Elias Pettersson.
Yep.
He's had 100-point seasons. He had 100 points last year and close to it over the last previous years before that on bad Vancouver teams. So this is the guy you want to give the money bag to. Like, he's earned it. So, and there was some talks that maybe Vancouver was trying to get in on Guentzel because they didn't know if Pete was going to sign and they were trying to get a guy. But thankfully, they don't need to now. They got Pettersson. So stick taps to that. Pettersson, you got your money bag, boy.
I got nothing to add to that. I love it. This is great. Vancouver is firing on all 100. Like, they are just all cylinders this year. Like, every move is a good one. And I hope to see it pay off for them. I picked Carolina and Dallas. But, like, I would not cry at Vancouver getting to and winning the cup this year. I would
love to see that. This is breaking news, Justin, right now. This just happened. Edmonton Oilers receive Adam Henrique and Sam Carrick, a 2024 seventh round pick from the Anaheim Ducks. Anaheim receives 2024 first round pick, which is going to be like between 28 and 32. So it's not really great, but they could probably maybe trade up for that. And a conditional fifth round pick. I don't see what the condition is. I imagine Oilers get to the cup final. There's probably that'll move up to something. I imagine. So they get two depth forwards added to the Edmonton Oilers. It's definitely a win for the Oilers here. The Anaheim Ducks, I feel like these picks can be flipped for something else. They need something higher than Edmonton's first round, because again, that's like 28 to 32. Cause they're definitely not going to be a lottery team. Edmonton's, you know, going to make a playoff push. So, but the Edmonton wins this one for sure.
Mm-hmm. And Henrique has been on the block and he was linked to us, but I would guess because of the poor play that kind of got thrown out the window. The rich get richer, but this is a great move for Edmonton. You know,
we've been talking for a long time. If Edmonton truly wants to make a push and win, you know what I mean? Like they seemingly are putting things together. They've put things together now since they went on that 16 game heater, honestly. And McJesus is doing McJesus things. Drysdale's doing his things. Stu is playing really solid goaltending. I mean, buddy, they're kind of putting it together, which is, I'm kind of like, finally, but
yeah,
like finally, you know?
Yeah. And it's cool because I don't have that same vitriol as I do towards Toronto. Like,
no, not at all. I wouldn't hate it if Edmonton won the cup. Truly. I wouldn't hate it.
Yeah.
Cause I think McDavid's a better player and guy than Austin Matthews is. Cause he's a gamer. He's a gamer. So, he wants to win.
I'm for it. You hate to see the rich get richer, but like that's the kind of move that Edmonton needs to be making. So,
This also is breaking, Justin. Colorado Avalanche receive Sean Walker from the Philadelphia Flyers and a fifth round pick. They send over a first round pick and Ryan Johansson to the Philadelphia Flyers.
Wow.
Colorado gets a defensive defenseman, and a pick, which they'll probably flip somewhere. Again, Philly's getting a first round pick for the Avs. That's 28 to 32. So I'm sure they're going to try to flip that. And Ryan Johansson is no, nothing to scoff at. Like, he's a solid depth guy. So, I'm not sure of his age, but I think he's a pretty young guy, and that's Philadelphia's game plan, is to get younger and a tool for the future. So I think this one is a win-win.
Yeah. It's interesting, 'cause they just signed Johansson. He must just not be fitting in. So,
yeah, I would say,
way to go Philly,
Philly.
Yeah, good. That's a good move for everybody.
Just moving right along with more trade than deadline talks. Johnny Quick extends for another year for the Regs. 1 year, $1.275 million. We don't necessarily want to see the Rangers get better. Neither of us do. But, I mean, for a guy that we thought his career was kind of coming to an end, I mean, he's made a big splash. And this year, I think he won his first 10 starts. And then he's kind of been, I want to say, about 75% since then, win a couple, lose one. But I mean, Johnny Quick is still like the Johnny Quick that we know of from that 2010, 2015 era of the LA Kings. So, I mean, again, I don't want to necessarily see the Rangers get better, but I mean, this is a solid re-signing. I mean, why wouldn't you? He's doing the role that he should as a backup. Give him some money, keep him around. I mean, that's smart. At the very least, it's smart.
Yeah. Shesterkin's clearly the guy, but like, why wouldn't you want to have a quality backup? So when Shesterkin has a day off, you're not panicking.
And there was that moment, January, early February, where Shesterkin was struggling a little bit, and Quick was the guy for a minute, So he did his job. So that literally was, where he gets his money again this year. So, hey, good for you, bud. Appreciate it. Another extension, our boys, the Mustard Cats, they extend Tommy Novak 3 years, $3.5 million. I'm pretty sure I've talked about Tommy Novak a few weeks ago when we did our random stars. And I think I talked about Tommy Novak. He's a kid that's on the score sheet a lot for the Preds. And, look no further. The Preds are in the second wild card spot right now, and they've held that spot for a very long time, which is kind of crazy because they kind of have no business being there. But a guy like Tommy Novak sticking around for three more years. Trotz is doing it right, man. I really like what he's done getting the young guys signed. They're trying to get younger, and they're trying to also bring in some pieces to compete in the next few years. So I'm here for it.
They play fast and physical. They play a really fun style of hockey. And, that they're a team that, while, your Winnipegs, your Edmontons, your Vegases are going to draw, the Dallases. I don't know that Nashville can necessarily topple them, but I think they can be on the ice with them and push them. You get into a 7-game series, anything can happen.
Technically. I feel like with the Preds, though, they've kind of had, besides that one run. Hey, you know, they won 2 Stanley Cups. Just kidding. They didn't, they didn't actually, but that guy at the store thought so. Tried to sell us on that. Besides that, that one really good year, every other year is just kind of, they've like limped in, you know, and then they're done pretty mm-hmm. quick. So I would love to see them be competitive like they did that one year, whatever that was, 2014, something like that. I forget. Doesn't matter. Anyway, moving on, the Washington Capitals trade Anthony Mantha to the Vegas Golden Knights for a second round pick and a fourth round pick. Listen, I don't hate that they're getting some assets. We were talking about this together last night. I don't hate that they got 2 picks for this guy because he came over in 2019 from the Detroit Red Wings, and he was supposed to make a big splash. At that time, he, I don't know, was like a 20-goal scorer for the first time. He's a pretty young guy. But in 2019, we sent over Jacob Vrana, who, I mean, he had a big impact in that 2018 Cup run. So we sent over Jacob Vrana, Richard Panik, who was a depth guy, and a pick to Detroit at the time. So for one guy, Anthony Mantha. And now we're sending him over to Vegas and retaining 50% and just getting 2 picks. So I'm kind of like, dang, man. Like, I mean, I understand his trade value isn't very high. I get that. I totally get that. But dude, you gave up a lot to get this guy. And it just kind of, at the end of the day, it stinks really bad that we only got 2 picks back for what we gave up. But Vegas adding a depth piece, who knows? Maybe he'll actually do something while he's doing his best Matthew Tkachuk chewing on the mouth guard impression. Who knows?
To your point, yeah, Vegas needs depth. Mark Stone out. So they're just having depth. I said this before. Again, I can't count Vegas out until they're officially out. I refuse after last year. But they are looking very beatable. In some of the games that I've watched this year, they've looked very beatable.
They just lost to Buffalo and Columbus back-to-back games. And, like, they got schooled. I want to say it was, like,
7-2.
Yeah, 7-2. Yeah, like, what? Absolutely. What? Since we're on that, this wasn't necessarily on the docket, but a couple weeks ago, the Blue Jackets sent over Emil Bergstrom to the Penguins, and in return they got Alex Nylander and a pick, and I want to say a prospect. In that game, Alex Nylander scored a hattie for the Columbus Blue Jackets, a natty hattie at that. So 3 goals right in a row. So I love to see that. The kid gets an opportunity, and I mean, putting up a hat trick. I mean, that's great. Love that. So
go Jackets, but yeah, go.
Go Jackets, go. But Vegas, a little bit of trouble right now. A little bit of trouble. Sticking with the Capitals, today they just extended Rasmus Sundin. So Sandman is going to stick around for 5 years at $4.6 million annual average value. This is a great signing for the Capitals. Again, they're trying to stay younger and competitive. Sandy is a really solid defenseman. So this is a good move for the Capitals. So I love to see that when they didn't I shouldn't say the Mantha trade wasn't a good move. Like I said, it was. I just would have liked it a little bit more. But, hey, Mantha doesn't produce. So, anyway, that's what I have to say about that. Anything to add to that? I know Capitals aren't your guys. So
it's just a good signing. You know, to your point last night, it's they need NHL-ready players. Obviously, he's on the NHL roster. But, like you can't really afford to let this guy walk. So let's lock him down, you know, 5 years. Yeah, it's a good signing.
Buddy, late breaking. This just in, I love this show right now. Colorado Avalanche receive Casey Mittelstadt from the Buffalo Sabres in return for Bowen Byram. This is massive trade.
Whoa.
Absolutely massive. It kind of stinks for the Sabres because they're losing Casey Mittelstadt. He's been like, Casey Mittelstadt's been kind of like the energy
under the radar
and the energy of the Sabres since, like, he's kind of sort of in a way taken over for Tage Thompson having a down year. Mittelstadt's been scoring. I want to say he's somewhere 20, 25 goals right now, which of course isn't on Tage's pace from last year, but he's been the guy that's been scoring. And Bowen Byram's no schmuck of a defenseman. He's pretty solid, throwing some hits, and he can score you some points too. So Buffalo gets a solid piece in return. So, I mean, win-win here. I love these win-wins. That's great. Yeah. I love the win-wins.
You don't like to see any team get ripped off. I don't like, I don't want to see them get ripped off. I didn't know Mittelstadt was up for grabs. Like, that's crazy.
I didn't know he was being shopped either. So that's interesting. You know what else is interesting, Justin? Ryan Johansson's been put on waivers by the Philadelphia Flyers.
Okay.
Okay. Dang.
What? Why doesn't anybody want Johansson? I don't get it.
I don't know. I don't know. So we are two, probably, I don't necessarily know if this is the biggest move of the deadline that's going to happen, but it 100% is kind of out of nowhere, I think. Vladimir Tarasenko goes to the Florida Panthers in exchange for a conditional 2024 fourth round pick and a 2025 third round pick back to the Ottawa Senators. Ottawa is also retaining 50% of Tarasenko's contract. Listen, Ottawa gets Tarasenko last year. They extend him, had no idea that like he was on the market, right? This comes out of nowhere. And Florida, wow. They just got a hell of a piece in Tarasenko.
A steal. I don't know what is going on in Ottawa. This is two huge whiffs in a row. Like last year with DeBrincat, this year with Tarasenko. Mm-hmm. Why can't they get it right? I mean, and like to me, it's peanuts. You know, Tarasenko can go anywhere. He can slot in anywhere in Florida's lineup, and he's going to be a plus, no matter where they put him. They are going to be dangerous, brother.
I mean, you know. I do love to see it. I love to see it because, you know, obviously was pulling for them last year in that cup run. They just got way, way more dangerous. And since we're on that, I wanted to bring up a stat for you. What's interesting about the Florida Panthers currently, we know from their President's Trophy run a couple of years ago, they were scoring so many dang goals, but they had no defense. Last year, they, you know, got into the Stanley Cup playoffs by goaltending, and they were still kind of doing a little bit of run and gun, a little bit, but not as much as they're in that 2021 or 22, whatever the year it was. You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But this year, so in goals for, Florida is ninth in the league for goals for. But what's the most interesting thing about Florida this year is their goals against. They are second in the league in goals against at 150 goals against, just under Winnipeg at 148 goals against. So that tells you, you know, they're top 10 in the league for goals for, but they don't necessarily score at nauseam, right? They're not scoring like crazy, but they're not giving up a lot either. Bob is on his game. Who's their backup? Stolarz is on their game. Man, I think that's a very, like you said, dangerous stat for this Florida Panthers team. Like, yo, you're going to expect 3 to 4 goals ish on average, but they're only going to give up like one or two. So you have to score at least 3 to 4 goals to beat this team.
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
And
that's dangerous.
You know, to your point, you know, about their defense, they get in the way of a lot of shots. They don't concede a lot of anything on offense, not just goals. I witnessed it last night. The stat that they Bill and Dano kept bringing up was if the Panthers score first, I think they're undefeated, which they did last night. They haven't conceded. Like if they've gone up two, they haven't lost at all. Strike that, reverse it. I think they've lost. It's like a damn near sure thing if they score first, and if they're up by two, they haven't lost. Period. It's just not giving up a lot. Like I said, they play physical and they match up well with literally everybody in the league. Like you put them up against any team and you go, yeah, I could see them playing them well. Like I don't know that there's a team that is better than them, and they're the hottest team in the league right now.
Yeah, they're top of the league. And when you got Sasha Barkov just doing Barkov things, like doing a hacky sack tap on his stick and sending it over to Reinhardt for a wide open goal. Just look at the weapons. I mean, Barkov, Tkachuk, Reinhardt, Montour can score from the blue line. We're on the Panthers jock for sure. And we have been since last year. Really. Yeah. I mean, truly. So moving on, somebody else that, well, actually you have a trade targets kind of board that you want to talk about a little bit.
Yeah. I don't
want to steal your thunder.
we'll go over a couple of these names because Enrique's already moved. He's on this list. Mm-hmm. We already brought up Allmark. He's on this list. We kind of talked about Wenzel a little bit, but a couple names here. Markstrom, Juicy Saros. Here's an interesting one. We're linked to Saros, but I think that's got to be over. I don't know how Nashville moves on from Saros in a playoff position, right?
Yeah, I don't, you know, like, again, Nashville's in that position because of Saros, 100%. Mm-hmm. He has willed them to a lot of wins. But here's the thing, like two ways of looking at this. You can get such a haul for UC Saros, such mm-hmm. a haul that will help this retool / rebuild that Trotz is trying to do. So you could jumpstart that by probably a couple of years by sending Saros somewhere, getting that haul for him. But here's, and with that, like you have Askarov in the AHL who is doing outstanding. His second year in the AHL, I don't remember the exact stats, but he has improved from last season in the AHL significantly. So he's touted to be ready to be in the NHL. So you could easily, you know, have UC's spot be taken over by Askarov, right? That's one way mm-hmm. of looking at it. Get rid of Saros, get a haul. Askarov steps in. Lekkonen is a pretty solid goaltender to be a backup, right? But the other thing would be, okay, Askarov is ready. You keep Saros, let Askarov be underneath Saros for another season to get some veteran seasoning, right? A little veteran help. That'll make him such an even better goaltender when Saros does leave. But then you miss out on this haul. So I'm not really saying anything here. I realize that. Like, what do you do? You know what I mean? Like, truly, what do you do? Because you're in that second wild card spot. But like I said earlier in the show, what are you really going to do, Nashville? What are you truly going to do when you have to match up with Edmonton or Vancouver? Well, let's see. Right now, you'd have to match up with Vancouver. Right now, you'd have to match up with Vancouver. You're probably getting swept. So is that worth it to give up that haul? Do you think Saros would still get a big haul next year? I mean, his trade value might be the highest that it possibly could be right now. So I think – I don't remember exactly what your first question was because I just went on a huge rant, and I realized that for everybody listening. I do think you trade him and get the haul, man. Like, jumpstart the rebuild by 3 to 5 years, truly, by getting the haul that you can get for Saros.
I mean, I guess that all kind of just depends on where he ends up. Here's another name that's interesting, Jake Allen. I'm surprised he hasn't moved yet. I mean, Montreal's been playing 3-10s all season. Does Jake Allen go somewhere? Montembeau got the bag earlier. Where do you think Allen lands up?
I mean, Allen could land with you guys. Allen would also, I think, be a good fit in Carolina. My best guess would be probably Carolina, I think. Or even LA could use Jake Allen. He's a reliable tender. I don't know if so. And well, I don't actually necessarily know that I like LA. I would say probably Carolina is probably his where he would go, if anywhere.
Here's a guy that we both like going over to the Coyotes this year. Matt Dumba, apparently on the block.
Yeah, he's going to be a UFA. So, and the Coyotes now, unfortunately, they lost every game in February. So that was 11 games that they lost. Yeah. And that just really stinks, because when they were doing well, the conversation of like, oh, these guys are actually doing good, we should give them an arena. And, you know, now, you know, they just lost 11 in a row, and like, mm-hmm. not in necessarily competitive fashion either. So that just brings back the conversation of like, yeah, why are they still here? Like, send them somewhere. So yeah, they're going to be sellers. I don't necessarily know where Dumba goes, because I don't know. Other than being defensive and throwing some hits, I don't really know what else Dumba really does. I don't really know where he would go. I mean, I guess Toronto could use a guy that has some physicality, because they're soft. I said it.
Yeah.
I said what I said.
They are. I mean, team one soft Toronto, team two soft New Jersey.
There you go.
They're both
very soft. Breaking news, Justin, the Minnesota Wild have extended Zach Bogosian for 2 years, $1.25 million. Why? Why? I don't know why you'd extend this guy. What does he do? That's the worst. That's the worst $3 million I've ever seen spent. What the hell?
Why now?
Why? Anyway.
All right.
Next guy on the board. Next guy on the board.
Let's see. Well, I mean, let's address the elephant in the room, and this will be the last one we do. Markstrom. I mean, the talks with New Jersey stalled several times this season, apparently. Most recently, apparently Calgary put the stop to it, which apparently Markstrom not very happy with. He really kind of wanted to go to New Jersey. So,
right. Yeah.
Where does he end up, and can that be repaired if he doesn't get moved?
Well, definitely if he's not moved, like, there's no way that they're going to sign him this summer because of everything that's gone on, right? There's no way that they sign him this summer. You know, really, I don't know where he goes, because at this point, I don't think he goes anywhere, because most teams are asking that they retain 50% of his contract. That's why, well, a couple things that I heard through the grapevine of why it didn't happen in New Jersey. One being that Calgary didn't want to retain 50%. And two, I also heard that ownership stepped in and was like, nah, don't get rid of Markstrom. Allegedly. I don't know that to be true or not. But yeah, man, at this point, like, I don't know if he's going to go anywhere. And then I think he's just going to walk. I think truly he's just going to walk is what it seems like. I don't see a landing spot for him. There's places he could go, but the way things are going, I mean, after all this time, he's been in talks and nothing has happened. I feel like Calgary's being really stingy with the return.
Yeah. And that's been my biggest thing, is like that. I feel like the ask was too much. I mean, for 20 games this year. And I think he has 2 years remaining. I mean, we do need a veteran Tendy who has his S together to kind of guide Dawes and Schmid. Vitek clearly wasn't that guy, but like, we're having to give up, you know, money. We're having to give up a pick. We're having to give up Mercer and probably a prospect for what? For Markstrom. I mean, it feels like too much to give up for a 34-year-old goaltender when our defensive problems make it seem like he might not be an answer anyway. If I worded that correctly, hopefully that made sense.
No. Yeah. I get that. Also, somebody that's been, who was healthy scratched for trade related purposes, our own Seattle Kraken's Alex Wennberg could be also on the move. Jordan Eberle, they're trying to get re-signed and extended, but that seemingly has been a halt. I forget who else is a UFA. There's not many UFAs on the roster, which is good. I think Justin Schultz on the back on the back end is also a UFA, but I feel like the Kraken, I mean, they're fourth in the wild card right now, 6 points out. Again, should probably sell, get something for UFAs. But anyway, I wanted to ask you this, Justin. Right now, the way that the playoffs, our playoff teams would be these teams, and then I'll ask you the question. In the East, New York, Carolina, Philly, Florida, Boston, Toronto. Florida would be the number one seed. Boston would be the number two seed. New York, number three seed. Carolina and Toronto are tied, but Carolina has more wins currently, so they would be four. Toronto, right? Did I do that right? Yeah, Toronto five. Philly would be the sixth seed. And then Detroit, Tampa Bay are your wild cards. Out of those teams, do you think anybody moves? I'm not necessarily about like rank, about standings, but out of those eight teams that I just mentioned, do you think anybody loses their playoff spot, or do you think this is pretty solid what we're going to see in the East?
I think that's probably in the East. I'm pretty sure that's it. I want to believe. I want to believe the boys can make the push. I don't think the Islanders have it in them. I don't think Pittsburgh has it in them. The only reason that the Devils could is because they made the change. You know, they finally made the change. Maybe they get that, the coach bump. But like I said before, like too much has to go right for that to happen. And Philly would have to have a meltdown for it to happen, I think, because I don't think they're catching Tampa or Detroit. So they have to catch Philly. And we have to win, they have to lose. And it's just, I feel like it's too much has to go right. So I think we're pretty locked in.
I think it is pretty locked in for the most part. The only thing that I could see is Philly losing that third spot with selling off some of their assets, but they've been playing above expectation all year, and Torts is not going to let them suck. We just know that to be certain. So they very well could keep that third spot. I know I didn't necessarily answer the question there. I do think it remains the same as well. I mean, yeah, the Caps, they're going to push, but Islanders are going to push. But I just think a Torts team is not going to give it up, no matter if they are playing a full AHL team. That AHL team would probably beat Florida at least one game because Torts. All right, we're going long here, so let's move this along. In the West, we have Vancouver would be the number one seed. Number two would be Dallas. Number three would be Winnipeg. Colorado would be number four. Edmonton would be number five. LA would be number six. And the wild cards would be Vegas and Nashville in that exact order. Do you see any movement in those eight pieces?
And I don't know.
I will say, I'll give you a little context for this, because this race is a little bit closer. Mm-hmm. LA, Vegas, and Nashville all have 73 points currently. Vegas has a game in hand. LA has two games in hand. And right behind you, Seattle and St. Louis have 67 points. So they are 6 points off the pace with 20 games left.
Again, not mathematically impossible, but I think it's just enough that I think Nashville's going to lock it in at that eight. So then the question becomes, does Vegas stay in wild card, or do they play well enough to get back into, you know, one of the locked positions, one of the, I feel like it's much more open. I think the only thing that possibly changes is seedings, though. We'll see, because St. Louis plays I hate to bring it back to the Devils, but St. Louis plays the Devils tomorrow. So that could very well be 2 points for them. And then suddenly they're only two wins away from being back in this thing. but I feel like neither of those teams, neither Seattle nor St. Louis, has played consistently well enough to go, yeah, they're going to do it. So I feel like I'm pretty sure we're locked in. I think those are the eight teams.
I think that's pretty fair. Like you said, seeding wise, I think once Vegas is healthy, I think they will leapfrog LA because LA has not been consistent. They've been good in stretches, but they they haven't been consistently good over a longer stretch. So I think Vegas does end up getting back to that third spot. Just seeding is going to move around a little bit, I think, as well. You mentioned St. Louis, and this popped in my head. We talked about him before, Pavel Buchnevich. Do you think he ends up going anywhere? He has another year left on his contract. I want to say it's like five something or other. And we talked about him a few weeks ago. In his time in St. Louis, he's essentially like 0.98 point per game. So he's basically a point per game guy in his time in St. Louis. Do you see him heading off anywhere?
Well, I mean, if St. Louis really wants to make the push, then no. I have not been able to get my finger pulse on St. Louis at all. Like I said, I've watched them a couple times and it's not good hockey. Like it's not fun games. Like I don't know how they're in this position. It feels like they should be sellers. Even with them being that close, it feels like they should be sellers. And I would think that Buchnevich would be one of the top pieces to move. Knowing his contract situation, it sounds like he could be on the outs. I don't know. He'd be a good piece for like literally anybody who's in the running. So he could take somebody from
anybody
good to dangerous. So, my gut says he stays put, but like, looking at reality, if anybody's going to go, it's probably him.
I would like to see him go somewhere, but I think St. Louis is in denial about what kind of team they are. And also, I just think that I don't know that they're going to do anything really. I think they're in a little bit of denial. Also, I think they're in a bit of trouble, especially with those top four defensemen all having no trade clauses. They can't get rid of any of those guys that are old and crusty. I wish he would. Buchnevich would go somewhere to give him an opportunity, but I just don't know that it's going to happen. I think St. Louis is just in denial. Also, I watched the Red Wings destroy them when I was in Detroit 6-1, and they looked terrible, like absolutely terrible. And those are like the Jekyll and Hyde. St. Louis is like Jekyll and Hyde. You might watch one game, they're like they look amazing, and then the next game, trash. So it's interesting there in St. Louis. Just a couple of quick kind of things. I saw this. It was on the internet, on the Instagram, and this guy wrote, "Daughter comes over first shift and says she lost a tooth. She spit it out and went out and scored 2 goals and 4 assists. Legendary." Stick taps to that young hockey player. Hockey players are tough, and she embodied that. That's all I really have to say about that. Like, that's why that's awesome. We love hockey because, you know, they don't sit out for a hurt finger or whatever. something that's been, and we're going to, I know we haven't talked about Matt Rempke or Rempe. And he's been in the league now for a couple of weeks and getting in fights and stuff. And that's great. Big guy. We didn't talk about that hit on Bastion. I guess we could talk about that real quick. Rempe comes in, he's 6'9 on skates, hits Bastion, who did have his head down, but he did make contact with the head. And at the end of the day, you can't make contact with the head. Even if you are a super tall player, you do have to make sure you don't hit somebody's head. Like, that's in the rules, but he didn't lift his elbow. He didn't lift his shoulder, but he hit Bastion pretty hard, which is good. Make hockey violent again. We love that. But safely. You don't hit the numbers, and you can't hit the head. So there is that. Do you have anything to add to that, since he's your guy?
I do. Let me say this. Let me preface it with this. This is as clean as a hit as a 6'9 guy, 6'9 on skates guy can do. You know, it's not a dirty hit. Like, not at all.
Not at all.
My biggest problem is the why and where. It's not, you know, it's one thing because immediately people are jumping and comparing Brendan Smith laying out Bedard earlier in the year, like hitting his jaw. And it's not even close to the same. Bastian was in the boards, like just turning away from the other player. Rempe just came out of the box. He was just getting his first shift and skates right to him, like barrels right into him. And again, clean hit, like nothing dirty there. I mean, illegal because of the head hitting the head. But I mean, and you know, the game just spirals out of control from there, which mostly on the Devil's fault. How do you have 5 minutes of power play and not capitalize on that is beyond me. But yeah, that's woof. And then, you know, the guy is just, you know, he's just taking swings at Siegs, who wasn't trying to fight, but was trying to like, hey, don't hit my guy, you know, like, and immediately Rempe's trying to drop gloves. And then now suddenly everybody's looking at this guy like a hero because he's literally fought in almost every game he's been in. Ah, man. I understand the need for goons. I really do. Like, I understand the need for physicality, sticking up for your guy. But like fighting for fighting's sake, I feel like is the thing that we need to leave behind. Physicality, hits, finishing your checks, all those things make sense to me. And if somebody roughs your guy up and you decide that you want to drop the gloves and you guys both square up and drop the gloves, that's part of the game to me. This whole, I don't know, man. Like, it's really turned me off these last couple of weeks from watching NHL. And I don't know. It hasn't permeated every game, but it is him. And him specifically, and we're touting this guy as like some sort of star, and it's like, is he though? Like, I think maybe in my old age I'm leaning more towards wanting to see skill. And again, I'm not saying there isn't a need for physicality and fighting. I understand there is a need for it. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying there is a time and place for it. Does that make sense?
No, it does, because when I repeat those words, make hockey violent again, it's not in because I kind of agree, like, this kid's trying to make a name for himself, so I get it, but fighting just for fighting's sake, I mean, it kind of takes the lure out of the reason why hockey players fight. A fight happens because something egregious happened. The star got hit, or somebody was cheap, or made a dirty hit, not a big hit, because make hockey violent again is making big, clean hits. No hits to the head, not elbows raised, body to body, shoulder to shoulder contact, big, clean hits. Those are the big, violent hits when we say make hockey violent again. And then you shouldn't have to drop the gloves for a clean hit. That's just bogus. The fighting happens because you did something egregious, and now you're going to pay for it, and then we're going to move on. So yeah, him just fighting every single game because he thinks that's what he has to do, or he's making a name for himself, I get it. But yeah, man, same thing. I don't want to see a hockey fight just because, oh, hey, well, I'm a fighter and you're a fighter, so let's fight. Like, I don't know. There takes something away. Something gets, you know, it's like if we use wrestling terms, like having a Hell in a Cell every single month. Like, just – why are we doing this? Let's have a feud. But anyway, that's a wrestling term. But, and I know we're running long here, we got to get out of here. But so what I wanted to touch on is a rookie on the Calgary Flames who just got called up, Martin Pospisil, had two hits in the same game against the Kraken the other night. numbers showing in both cases, he hits Adam or Vince Dunn from behind headfirst into the boards. And he also hit Adam Larson numbers showing headfirst into the boards. And I think to your point with the whole Rempe thing has made this like every single big strong defenseman or forward think that, oh, I have to make a name for myself too. So I need to make these bone crunching hits, whether they're safe or not. And I think to your same point, that is the wrong path being taken currently. And I don't love to see that. If they were clean, big hits, love that. I don't love this, how we get away from, you know, if the numbers are showing you can't throw a hit. So what are you doing? That's where I'm lost on that.
Yep. It's violence for violence sake isn't what we're saying. It's be smart and safe, but also hitting and physicality is part of it. Go ahead.
I was going to say, look at the hockey that we grew up on in the 90s, right? There were big hits thrown every 30 seconds and they didn't fight for it. They fought when something egregious happened. That's what we mean when we're talking about, let's have that violence in hockey, that like 90s violence, if you will, not just throwing, oh, I see this guy's numbers, I'm going to destroy this guy. Like, no, no, it's not. What are you doing? That's you should be suspended for the rest of the year. Truly. I mean, that's insane. But we went super long. There'll be more trades and we'll talk about it and cover it next week. Tune in to that if you're into that, and tune into us every single week at Barn Trippers Pod. You know the drill. Until then, keep your head up, play to the whistle, stick taps, and Sally's boys, clap it up.
Yeah.